10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day.
Cousin subs, we believe in better.
Starts now, and it starts with Jair Alexander and the Jair saga, which rolls on and has taken a bit of a turn. Although, again, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you shouldn't fool people. Rob Dabowski, our friend and teammate, has been reporting on this for a while. I think his reporting and mine and just about everyone else's on this has been fairly consistent until now, which was the Packers intend to move on from Jair. Now, intend is not the same as they have moved on from him. He is still on the roster. I'm still not sure. I have not gotten word back, which I think tells you something. Because if he was there, you would just tell me he's there. But I don't know if he's there at the off-season program or not. He did the first week virtually with everybody else. I'm guessing he's not there, but I don't know that. But now there is at least a sliver of hope, per Rob, that he will somehow still end up on the roster in 2025. And Rob talked to Kyle Bruston-Nortman yesterday about it. And here's what he had to say about the idea of being optimistic that Jair remains on the team.
I thought it was going to be resolved long before this. I really did. I thought when, you know, the early stages of free agency, something might happen. But at this point, you know, I don't know what to expect, but I do get the feeling that the fact that both sides have been, you know, are willing to talk and be at the negotiating table or, you know, however they're discussing things right now does make me feel like that they could be headed toward a resolution. I've been down that road before and it has not. So I do think it's a good sign that they are in communication and this isn't just standoff at this point.
So, Brian, again, I go back to the fact that I've never heard a GM, Ron Wolf, Mike Sherman when he had both jobs, Ted or Brian before, say, in the hypothetical, if he's not going to be on our team helping us win games, then we want to get something for him because we've invested a lot in Jair. Never heard anybody talk about him that way, about any player. If we don't want him on our team anymore, we'd like to get something for him. When Brian had the chance after the draft to say, hey, you know, we're still working through things with him. It's possible he could be on our roster. We're still trying to figure all that out. That isn't what he said. He said he's on our roster right now. So my frustration with this story is that I have no interest in getting rid of him. But it's our job to read the tea leaves and go off of what people in the know tell us. And the signs still point to him not being here. Now, if something changes and he takes a pay cut and they say, we need this and we're willing to go through another year of not knowing if you're going to play or not, great. I'm on board. But I saw Rob Dabowski's Twitter mentions and there were a lot of folks saying, I thought you said he was going to be gone for sure. Well, sometimes things change. How do you view the current status of Jair Alexander with the Packers?
So I can't wait for Homer to get on too, because like he and I have been going back and forth with this since the beginning of this, right? Like, mm-hmm. And you've been involved in this too. We've had you on our show. We've been going back because this has been going on since the beginning of this, right? And like, it started off at the beginning that it was almost like, and I was even in agreement with you and I was with Homer that like, yeah, I mean, this is almost a formality, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yes, in the beginning, but he's going to try to get something for him, probably by the combine. They're going to try to get with a partner. And if they don't get a partner by the combine, all right, like, time to move on. We got past the combine, and there was nothing. And Goody said what he said at the combine, and it was a little odd, right? Like, it was a little bit of an odd statement
yes.
that he made at the combine. And then they went to that GM's meeting. What was it, in Arizona or Orlando, wherever they do that at? I don't know where they do that at.
Yeah, Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, so another nice vacation trip. A nice, yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. And then he made I think he had another comment about it down there too, if I'm not mistaken.
None of them were optimistic about him being on the team, by the way. None of those comments were encouraging for that to happen.
Correct. So, like, reading between the lines, it was still very, you know, like, okay, like, doesn't seem like he's, like, it seemed like it's coming soon. Like, right? Like,
right.
Chances are him being released is coming soon. But here we are. Jair was virtually reporting the first week. Mm-hmm. And now here we are in the second week, and we don't know if Jair's there or not. If I'm taking a guess, and we don't know this confirmed yet or not, if I'm taking a guess, he's there. And that's just me taking a guess. I don't know. I don't have any sources.
I wonder, see, here's the problem. And again, I don't know how things are going to play out. But I know one thing. Teams are very leery of players with injury history taking part in the program and then on a freak accident running inside the Hudson Center, tearing their ACL, and now you're on the hook for a $17 million salary. So my instinct is they have told him, hey, we'll pay you your workout bonus anyway, but until we figure out your status, you could just, you know, work out on your own. That we're okay with that, and we'll give you your bonus. That would be, and again, I'm not reporting that either. I don't know.
Correct,
that.
Yeah.
I just don't think they want to, if he gets hit by a car on Oneida Street and breaks his ankle or breaks his chin strap, since we don't say things that are bad that happen to players because Campy's taught me well. You don't want to be on the hook for his salary, which is what you would be if something happened.
See, now that's where we don't know what that conversation was with his camp and Green Bay. Because, because through legal jargon, through the CBA, they can't tell him to stay away because he's on the roster.
Right.
So, like, technically, they can't tell him to stay away.
That's why I thought it would be done by now, one way or the other.
Exactly. So, like, the more this continues to go, right, like the more this continues to go and he's reporting to virtual meetings and say he is in town, the more, like, I get that the signs are there that he won't be on the roster, but the more it starts to push me to believe that he may, and that what Rob said to KBN is that maybe they are working towards a solution. Now, like you said, I have no source to that. There is no reporting to that or no knowledge of that, that Goody and his camp are talking of that nature. But I can only look at what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can only look at what's going on. And the longer it continues to go, the more I can only assume that, because of just based on how these things kind of work out through the offseason, right? Like, I mean, if the guy's showing up for work, like, I don't know how, I don't know any other way to look at it. Like, I just don't, right? Like,
right.
Guys showing up for off-season workout programs and for meetings and things like that, well, he's assuming he's on the roster and he's working. So,
And look, one other thing on this, right? Like, if we're being honest, the trade, there's one part of it of you could trade him now. And now that the draft is passed, you could do the conditional pick thing for a 2026 pick, right? And it can start as a sixth, and it can go up. It could be, if he doesn't make that team's roster somehow, then they don't owe you anything. Whatever. You could put those conditions on it. On the flip side, you know, he's not going to make $17 million from another team this year, I don't think. I think there would be some element of prove-itness to a contract. So maybe his best choice, both in terms of a role and in terms of making the most money he can, would be to stay. But again, when one of his closest friends on the team is cleaning out his locker after the loss to the Eagles and proclaims himself CB1 while Jair is still under contract, tells me that they had a conversation about that Keyshawn Nixon thinks my guy, my dog is not going to be back, so I'm going to become the new top dog. So
I know.
It's unlike anything I've seen in my time, there have been guys that have held out. There have been guys that they've released to save money, all those things. But this has been different. So I don't pretend to know the answers to it. But as this evolves, we will keep you updated. But Brian's right. Like, you can't tell a guy you're not allowed to come to work. So unless they negotiated a, hey, we're going to pay you your workout bonus anyway, and let's just get this figured out before you come in, and he agreed to it, I don't know what they're doing. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, because I'll just put it this way. If he – okay, so say they didn't negotiate the don't come in, but we'll still pay you, right?
Yeah.
There would be absolutely no reason that he would log into those meetings last week.
Right.
There'd be no reason if he wasn't showing up this week. There'd be no reason. Why would he log into those meetings?
Unless it counts toward his attendance for, you know, because those workout bonuses, I don't know if you had those because that was never an issue for you. But like,
I had
those,
them, but it's like 90-something% you need
right,
to hit.
Right.
But yeah, so like that would mean he'd have to show up this, you know what I mean? You'd have to show up to a certain percentage of them. So like,
to get your money. Right.
Yeah, why would you log into those if you have no intention of hitting that 90%?
Right.
To me, it's
a weird deal.
That's all I'm saying.
It's a weird deal. and the fact that I can't get a straight answer as to whether or not he's there is also a weird deal. So, yes. Again, we will see how this unfolds. All right, we want to get ready for Homer. I do want to get to this Giannis and Tyrese Halliburton's dad situation from last night. I just found it so both bothersome and fascinating at once. I don't know if that'll be the subject for the next Behind the Bucks on Bucks Plus. Right now, it's Dame time on season 4 of Behind the Bucks, the podcast presented by Gallagher. You can explore the Bucks superstar Damian Lillard's unlikely journey, and now arduous journey moving forward after the ruptured Achilles, from a two-star high school prospect to a top 75 player in NBA history. The series, narrated by senior NBA insider Chris Haynes, reveals exclusive details of Dame's trade to the Bucks and experience with the team. Find Behind the Bucks on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. We'll talk about Tyrese Halliburton's father and his interaction with Giannis, and then we'll talk to a guy whose father never came to any of his sporting events when he was growing up, Steve the Homer True. Those conversations are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Getting ready to talk to Uncle Homer. I'm assuming that his dad never confronted one of his tennis opponents because he never came to any of his events. But last night, as the Indiana Pacers dispatch of the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 5.
Led by 20.
Yeah.
Lost.
And led by, what, 6 or 7 in the final 40 seconds? And
led by
great,
4
Bob.
With like 20 seconds left in regulation.
Also true. But playing without Damian Lillard, playing their starters almost the entire game, not ideal. But then afterward, Tyrese Halliburton, the pride of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, his father, who, by the way, officiates some youth games that Sydney has played in, and he enjoys being the show. I was talking with another couple of dads on a text chain about him. When he's officiating, he wants everybody to know he's there. Put it that way, much like Brian when he's working as the sideline official for Declan's soccer games. But so he basically is taunting Giannis afterward. If you haven't seen the video on social media, it's everywhere. And Giannis, to his credit, at least up until when he puts his head on. the little Halliburton's bald head and talks down to him in the end of their interaction. I thought he handled himself awfully well, and I thought he was really good after the game. And I want to give credit to Tyrese Halliburton, who also acknowledged what I would say is obvious, but still not easy to do this when it's your dad. But here's what Tyrese Halliburton said about his dad being out of line.
The emotions of the game just got excited there. But I talked with him. I'll talk with Giannis eventually about it. Just, you know, I don't think that my pops was in the right at all there. And unfortunate, you know, what happened in the end there. But, I mean, this series was a lot of war. Of words, a lot of war of antics, a lot of stuff going back and forth. And that's just part of, you know, this rivalry and what we've built here over the last couple of years. And, you know, it's unfortunate what happened there, but I think it's just competition. And as far as my pops, again, I don't agree what happened there. We'll have a conversation. You know, everybody's grown men, and, you know, we'll just go from there.
So that is how the younger Halliburton, who, again, I respect the fact that he said that, because he could have just kind of blown off the topic, and he didn't, and neither did Giannis, who I thought was very, I know it took him a while to get there, and I know there's an abbreviated clip of his lengthy answer, but I really liked how he handled it as well after the game. Here's Giannis talking about the situation.
You know, having somebody's dad, which I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for his son, and I'm happy that he's happy for his son. That's how you're supposed to feel, but coming to me and disrespecting me and cursing at me, I think it's totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable, okay? And I'm not the guy that points fingers, because in my neighborhood, snitches get stitches. So I don't want to say something, you know, for him to say, to get fined or anything. But it's not respectful. I talk with him at the end, and I think we're in a good place.
I think we're in a good place.
When sounds I was, like it.
I also liked earlier when he said, look, maybe 20 years from now when my son is playing basketball, maybe I'm going to do the same thing. I don't think so, but you could basically come back and say you're a hypocrite for doing it someday. Look, you're a sports parent. I'm a sports parent. Our children are not playing at the professional level at this point. Maybe yours has a little bit better chance given your kids' bloodlines versus, at least Paul is a great athlete, so that's good for our girls. But I just the idea of approaching things the way Halliburton's dad did, I think Giannis is right. We are so in a time now where if you win, you don't. So few people have an interest in winning with humility and respect and celebrating their own accomplishment. It's more talking smack to the team you just beat. There was that feeling throughout that game. I'm just curious, Brian, when you saw that, you know, your dad's super proud of you, right? No doubt about that.
Yep.
But hard to imagine most of our parents behaving that way toward a competitor that your child just faced.
Yeah, I saw that clip. I couldn't believe that actually took place. Like, I mean, and let alone any player on the Bucks roster, but Giannis. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I watched that. I couldn't even wrap my brain around that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it literally blew my mind. We've come to a place now in sports that, And I think social media is a big part of it, like, and this is part of it, that we feel now that anything can be said to guys and you get away with it scot-free, right? Like, and you can say what you want and you get away with it scot-free. And listen, as athletes, you're going to get criticized and you got to take the heat that comes with it. But now you're doing it to his face on the court and Giannis can't do any, you know what I mean? Like, and
yes,
you know, kudos to him for the restraint, right? Like, honestly, like, kudos to him for restraint. But now you're doing it not through social media, you're doing it to his face, where that is very, 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 very gutsy. It's just gotten to a point where it's like, come on, man, like, let the players play the game, right? Like, you won 119 to 118 in overtime. You won the series. celebrate with your son, mm-hmm. right? Like, celebrate with him, you know, like, I don't know why you're taunting a guy that's won a championship, is one of the top five players in the league. What are you taunting him for?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, what are you doing? Like, you're acting as if this guy, like, is a bad player or he dogged it all game or something. Like, give me a break. Like,
yeah.
Like, to me, it's just, it makes absolutely no sense. And the fact that Giannis actually, like, contained himself blows my mind. Because,
yeah.
like, you pick someone from maybe the 90s, that looks at something completely different. That looks something completely different,
yeah.
and it goes a completely different route. We'll just put it that way.
And he had another interaction with one of the Pacers bench players. Did they ever? Yeah. Was there?
That was our guy Benedict Mathurin.
Was there ever any indication of what happened with that part of it? I never saw any news on that.
Mathurin had to miss a game. There was a hard foul at one point earlier in the series, so everyone thought that's what that was all about. Was there was some? It's a rivalry. These two. Yeah. It's nationally, I don't think anybody cares, but locally, it is. Those two teams do not
I'll
like each other.
I'll put it this way: like, I could never imagine myself with my son playing like right now, or as he gets older. Like, after he wins, after he loses, after anything, going up to another opponent that he's playing and talking smack to that opponent.
Unless, I will say this, unless, and I'm not perfect by any means, but if, let's say Declan becomes a top flight basketball player, just because I can use a better example there, okay? I know he's a really good mm-hmm. soccer player. I'm curious, like, if he goes in for a breakaway dunk, and some guy undercut him in like a high school varsity basketball game, I could see getting angry enough of losing my composure if somebody did that to Sydney with me, or if somebody did that to Declan with you. I can see myself getting angry enough that you potentially seriously injured my kid. I get that. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm not saying it would be okay if I did it. But I can see myself being that upset. The idea of taunting someone who just lost to my kid's team, that makes zero sense to me whatsoever. That I can't.
Yes.
I can never see myself doing that. Ha, ha,
no.
ha, ha, ha. Come on.
Yeah.
What are we, six?
No, that may, exactly. No, not a chance. Not a chance. There's like, there's, again, the players handle it. They're grown. The players handle it. Like, come on. Like, give me a break. Like, I know you really want to be out there doing it. I know you really wish you could have been out there doing it at some point in your life. But let the players do it, okay? Like, seriously.
Not a good look, especially when your own son then has to scold you publicly. All right, speaking of scolding and grown men, nobody's quite as grown as this guy because he's old. But we love him. Brian spends a couple days a week with him. I spend 3 days a week appearing on their program. Steve the Homer True, the host of the Homer Hour, joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Music means that wild and crazy old man. You hear him on the Homer Hour every weekday, the best 60 minutes of your day, allegedly. You also hear him as the voice of Marquette Men's Basketball Radio Network. And of course, you can catch him on God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip on YouTube. It is Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. I'm just going to sit back and let you and Brian Bulaga talk. Because that's what happens whenever I join your show and Brian's hosting with you.
I did want to tell you I have a father of an opponent story.
Oh!
Short.
Yes! I was hoping this would be the case.
Yeah. So the biggest upset I ever had, I beat a kid. We'd played 100 times, and I beat him once. I still, to this day, it's been over 50 years. I don't know how I won. I thought maybe he was sick. But after we got done, his father came up and said, you know, that was the worst match my son has ever played in his life. And I looked at him, and you know what I said? Glad it was against me.
That sounds very much like a homer comeback, by the way.
Well, no, like you think. I mean, I didn't want to have a discussion with him because clearly he was upset at what had happened. I thought, like, you think I don't understand how incredible this is? But anyway, I do want to tell you that you got to listen to Shaq. They talked about this, and Shaq really got on Barkley and Kenny Smith for being so upset with this because he said, grow up when you guys are so soft. This happens all the time. I remember going off the court and they're waving brooms. You know, he thought this comes with the territory. It always has. And players just move on and put up with it.
Not on the court from an opponent's dad.
Well, whatever. His point
Jordan's dad, Michael Jordan's dad, wasn't on the court talking trash.
His point is, you put up with people taking trash all the time, you deal with it. And he was really, and I just want that to be presented as an alternative to saying, this stuff has always been going on. I also think that it's a bit inaccurate. The point of which I think Giannis was the most irritated by far was with the player, who I didn't even know who the heck it was. It was Benedict or whatever.
Benedict Mathurin,
That aside, you just listen to Shaq, and Shaq didn't say, you know, like, I'm going to beat him up if I said that. He said, hey, you lose. That's what comes with it. Just walk off the whatever. So that's not me.
I don't know.
Shaq.
So wait, I
always want to ask Shaq. I mean, I would love to ask Shaq. Shaq, when was the last time someone's dad got in your face when you walked off a court? Like, honestly, like you know what I'm saying? Like, no one ever got in. No parent of a player ever got in Shaq's face when he walked off a basketball court.
He wouldn't have known who it was and wouldn't have cared. He would have, whatever. You lost.
Oh,
deal with it,
Young Shaq would have cared.
I don't want to speak for Shaq. I only remember the first time I saw him in a locker room. He might have been a little bit of, he was big as a house from the waist up, and he had these skinny legs. I thought, those legs aren't going to make it to your third.
I wasn't sure where you were going there, so I'm glad you talked about his legs.
As he got older.
Whoa, Nelly!
As he got older, and James Lofton was the same way. James Lofton had these legs that were like 2 inches around from the waist up. He looked like a linebacker. But anyway, I would be curious to see what Shaq would say, but you might want to listen to that as an alternative, because if I said it, you would listen, but if Shaq says it, maybe you'll listen.
So, again, I like to tease you about this because you mention it so often. Obviously, your dad never got in any opponent's face because he was never there to watch you play.
Yes.
I am curious, though.
Hold on. Let me clarify to my father. I was so selfish, I didn't even notice this. I had a younger brother, 2 years younger, who was so embarrassed by my dad, he banned him from the Little League games. My dad would sit on the bench and root for the pitcher if he threw well, but didn't care or know which team it was. So he's sitting with the parents on our team, and their kid is at the plate and strikes out, and my dad yelling, way to go, pitch! Like, because he was pitching pretty well, had no kind. So my brother said, Dad, can you never go again? So the few times he went, he banned him. And so that was the – but I didn't – I was so oblivious to everything. I didn't learn this until after the fact. But anyway, back to this. The discussion about Giannis should be about is he leaving. That's all that matters.
So, yes, I figured we would get there, especially with you, since you've been warning us. Like Paul Revere writing throughout the colonial America. I'm curious, anything about yesterday sweat? Because, look, this is – I was watching NBA TV after the game because the game was on NBA TV. I had left to go pick up Maddie from gymnastics practice, so I was listening to our buddy Justin Garcia on Bucks Talk during the drive. We all know, and Justin said this perfectly, we all know this is going to be the national narrative from now all the way through the summer. Like, this is not going to go away. And we know that the Bucks are in a, to put it kindly, less than enviable situation. They have a 35, soon to be 36-year-old point guard who ruptured his Achilles, which in the NBA, he's probably not going to play until the 2027 season, which is not great. We know what Aaron Rodgers went through at an advanced age playing football, and that's different than NBA basketball. They don't have any real first-round draft picks of any value. What happens next in your mind, and are you open, much like you are starting to open the door to Jair Alexander staying, are you open to the possibility that you're going to be wrong and Giannis is going to stay and weather the storm and come out on the other side and still be a Buck?
Yeah, I think it's possible. The young players they've added are going to make the team better than I thought next year, but it all comes down to the kindness of Giannis. Everyone should know it makes no sense for him to stay with the Bucks. None. The team isn't going to be good. It isn't going to be real good for a while, even if they're young. And yeah, he can go anywhere else, can go somewhere else. And it's just a question of how nice he is. I'm hoping he's nice enough to give the Bucks 1 year. They also should hire Mike Malone as the head coach, pay Doc. Doc's good. He's no Malone. The last game was bad if you're an eighth-grade coach. That was as pathetic a finish, but it isn't a big picture thing. I just think it's rare that Malone would be available. He's better. Pay Doc, who's good, but he's not Malone, and then that gives you the best chance. And, of course, people should know, if not for Giannis, the guy coaching the Cavs could very likely be the Bucks coach. Giannis wanted Griffin, and so they got Griffin. And
that didn't work out.
No, it didn't. But I think I believe there's a chance. I think I could sell Giannis. I don't know that Giannis wants to be the bad guy, too. To leave, Giannis has to say he wants to leave because they certainly don't want him to. And that might be more than he wants to handle. I don't know who he uses as the bad guy. So, yeah, I think there's a chance that he, with the new team, it's going to be a new team, young player. Most of them are on the team now. And see how they do next year.
All right. Well, I just feel like, and I'm not saying that you're by any means trying to get rid of him, but this has been something you've been talking about for quite a while.
Right, because I wanted people, I adore Giannis, I wanted people to go see him. I think back when Robin Yount left. No one knew he was leaving. The last year he's gone, like, I don't get to see Robin Yount anymore. So, yeah, I want him to stay, but it makes no, I mean, no. The issue is of what exists. And anybody, not anybody, would say, I want to go. Team's not going to be as good. Why would he stay when he can go anywhere else? Or, I mean, they would, unless the Bucks say, we're not going to trade you. But that's not how it works in the NBA now.
Yeah, I just don't, I agree with you on this. I don't see how they get better. The path to them being something more than a, you know, because they still have Giannis. They're going to be, I'm not saying they're not going to be a playoff team, right? They're not going to bottom out and win 12 games, but they're going to be a 6, 7, 8 not play-in team, and Giannis is going to do all the heavy lifting. And unless there's some miraculous, I mean, look, let's be honest, getting Giannis and having him turn into what he is why they have a title. Because when they picked him at 15 or whatever it was, no one knew he was going to become what he became. They need to have that lightning happen again, which is highly unlikely. So I get it, but I don't know. I am still a believer that there's something different about him. And when you say, if I was him, I would go, there's something I can't put my finger on with how he is.
No, you can't put your finger on it. He's an incredibly great human being.
Yeah.
And it's reasonable, both because he's an incredibly great human being, and it might be difficult to say, I want to get out, that even given what you said, a group of young players, some of which he's seen play now, and they've done pretty well, that he'll give it a shot. We'll have this discussion in a year. But, yes, he's, you know, we're all so lucky. I mean, How can you not like Giannis?
Yeah, I don't. Ask Tyrese Halliburton's dad. All right, last thing. You and I talked at length last night on the Homer Hour about the evolving Jair Alexander situation. You know, I always give you a hard time because you love to go 0% chance or 100%. That has evolved somewhat per Rob Dabowski's reporting. Again, I can't get a straight answer from anyone in the building whether Jair is at these off-season workouts or not in person. Where do you stand on the likelihood of Jair Alexander playing for the Green Bay Packers in 2025 now, Homer?
I'm about the same. I'm a little higher, maybe 10%. Just on listening to you, people are not talking because they don't want to say the truth. And the truth can be as much as the head coach doesn't want him around. Or the, I don't know.
Or the head coach does and the GM doesn't.
Right. There's clearly something there that's serious enough for them not to tell the truth. Because it would be easy to say, hey, it's April. We're hopeful he'll be back. How hard would it be to say that?
Yeah, you're right. No one has ever said that. That's true.
No, how easy is that? Just what are we saying about Giannis? Hey, we're hopeful he comes back. What do they say about Jair? Nothing.
He's on our roster right now.
Yeah. What? And this is my question to you and Brian, because you are close to it. Like, Brian, what would have to be the situation, because you had to live it, where it doesn't make any sense that nobody wants to be positive? Like, even if you're wrong, hey, you know, we hope he's on the
I mean,
fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's why, like, I have no idea how to gauge this situation. Like, this is a very wild situation because I don't – normally this isn't how they handle business. So that's why I don't get what's happening right now. And, like, what makes this even more confusing is that he logged in to meetings last week. Like, that muddies the waters on this for me. Because, like, if he didn't log into meetings last week, I would say that he's telling them, I don't want to do this. But the fact that he logged into those meetings, A, means he may want his money, which I totally get that. I would, too, if I were him.
But it's about the money, yeah.
But it shows that he's forcing a hand that, like, hey, I'm showing up. Like, I'm showing up. I'm here to work. So it's making them speed their process up of making a decision. Because, like, as Jason said, if he shows up to workouts and something happens, they're on the hook. That's just the way it goes.
Right.
So, like,
right. Or given that, it'd be easy for the team to say, you guys are making this the story. He signed up for the workout. Let's just, well, you know. Which isn't commenting on what you think is going to happen, but the truth is, or the options are so easy, and they choose not to do it in multiple situations.
Yeah. Again, I just look forward to resolution, and I think you make a great point. It would be easy to say, hey, we don't know how this is going to play out, but we hope he's still with us. He's still a very good player.
Even if it's a lie, and we know Goody lies all the time about this stuff. And so what would be hard about this lie? They don't want to tell this lie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what it likely would be. It likely is when they don't want the person around, or there's something about them they don't like. They're not happy, and they're so unhappy, they won't even lie for him.
Homer, it's no lie. I will talk to you tonight on the Homer Hour. Thanks.
Bye.
That is Steve the Homer True. You can tune into him on the Homer Hour, and sometimes with Brian Bulaga, sometimes with John Anderson, a cast of characters on there. Jesse, speaking of characters, did you have the little green goblin or the little purple guy or whatever other creatures show up on Prize Picks last night?
I stayed off last night because I wasn't sure how that Bucks game was going to play out. And I don't know, maybe that was bad luck or something. But now you get to look more objectively. I think Tausch would agree. Like, when the Bucks aren't in it, and you can look more objectively at Joker and everybody else who's playing, you got a good chance on Prize Picks. The best place to turn your sports knowledge into cash. With millions of members, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching sports. Join millions of users and sign up today. Cash in, of course, on the basketball playoffs and the hockey playoffs, too, with Prize Picks. Don't miss your last chance to add your favorite players from the court to your Prize Picks lineup. Points, rebounds, assists, maybe all three. Take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash today. Of course, it started with the play-in round, and it continues all the way. Every lineup you make on Prize Picks will enter you in the Takes Two Tickets sweepstakes, which could win you and a plus one a VIP trip to the ship, which you know won't be in Milwaukee. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code WI when you get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Tausch stopped including me in those,
so
I wasn't
ready. Why did he stop doing that?
I don't know. It's hard to understand why Tausch does things. We need to get to a break and get back, talk a little more about Jair or the Packers or whatever it might be. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is our crew.
Tying is up, scrambling home. He's going to score and Yelich into third. Oh, the Brewers with the double steal.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball, 100.5 ESPN.
Thanks, as always, to Uncle Homer. It's always a treat. Well, almost always a treat. Sometimes it's not. Again, we will try an effort on some more information on Jair Alexander, because I know that's something that a lot of fans are curious about. Brian, I do want you to answer Homer's question. What would the reason be for not publicly saying, hey, we don't know how this is going to work out, but we'd love to have it work out so Jair is still on our team? It's interesting. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Homer made a really good point.
Yeah, he did. The only thing that I can conjure in my head is that they feel like they've said that by saying, like, he's on the roster, he's on the team. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're saying he's on the team. Like, that's what we're
right.
Like, that's what we're saying. Like, he's part of this team. Like, what? I don't, like, what more do you, he's currently on the roster. So,
well, Brian, like, and Brian Gutekunst, not Brian Bulaga. Well, Brian, you also said that if he's not going to be on your team helping you win games, you'd like to get something for him. So you also entertained the possibility of him not being on your team. But you haven't entertained the possibility of saying, boy, we're working through this, but we'd love to still have him on our team. That he's, again, I can't believe Homer distilled it into something so simple, but that's it. Like, If I heard that from Goody, I have to admit my pessimism about Jair being on the team would take a big shift. If I heard that phrase, and I haven't heard it.
I don't know if it's potential, like, negotiation, standoff talk with his agent. You know what I mean? They're making these comments to hold leverage because technically Green Bay has all the leverage, right? Like, they hold all the cards still, even right now on over Jair. They have all the leverage. Like, no matter any way you look at it, Green Bay has it, because for Jair, like, it he's in the position where it kind of stinks for him, because the longer this goes and the later he gets into camp and say he does get released, latching onto a team, and you're not going to get a deal you want. Let's just put it that way, right? Like, the longer this goes, you've already said it. Like, they're not giving out $17 million right now to anybody. Like, no team is going to do that right now. So, like, that's already off the table. Like, that type of money's not being handed out to anybody. You get even later into training camp or closer to training camp, it's going to be hard to latch on and play really well. Like, very rare instances do you see guys get released that late, get to a team, and then make a huge impact. Because you're there so late, it's the move, it's up and moving your life, and then learning that scheme, getting comfortable with your teammates. The season almost starts immediately, and then you're there's a lot that goes into it. So the more this keeps pushing, and like I'll just say, like, the more this gets closer to the start of the season, and say, you know, Jair is not on the team, the worse it is for him, right? Like, because it's delaying him latching on with another team and getting comfortable, and obviously the financials of it, you know, become worse and worse for him, you know, contractually negotiating with another team. So, like, I look at it, like, and you said it earlier, the best case scenario would be negotiating with Green Bay and figuring out a solution that works for both sides. And it's not going to be great for Jair, right? It's going to be very incentive based. It's going to be based off of active roster and things like that. And if it's just based off active roster, right, you can make your money if you're active and you're healthy. That's a pretty good incentive, right? Like, that's a really good incentive based contract. Like, because, you know, if he's healthy, he still can play at a high level. At least I think he can. I think he's still a good corner. If you're healthy, you're playing. Like, we want you on the field. So, like, you make your money if you're healthy and you're playing. Like, that's really what it is.
Right.
And, like, to me, that's the deal. And then you could show out, right? And then you're a free agent. And then you move on. Then you can cash in again. And, like, that's the way I mean, if I'm him and I'm his agent, like, that's the discussion I'm having to try to figure this thing out, to stay with the team, stay with the you know, the defense that you're comfortable with, stay in the locker room you're comfortable with for one more year, stay healthy, play well, and then explore next year.
We will see how this unfolds in the coming days. It is, but for those that thought it was a foregone conclusion he would be gone, there has been some measure of change in that, and there's at least that possibility he's going to be sticking around. All right. The good news is he's got a Quick Trip location right near Lambeau Field. So if he wants to stop in for a fresh coffee or a tasty bakery treat or a quick grab-and-go meal or a snack, Jair Alexander's like the rest of us. He can swing into Quick Trip right there on Lombardi Avenue or wherever the closest Quick Trip is for you. Quick Trip is your go-to. Quick Trip has a variety of apps and meals ready when you are. If you want to make your next meal a little less ordinary, head into Quick Trip where they're serving up their legendary no ordinary chicken. Juicy chicken tenders or boneless wings that are hand-breaded, fried to perfection, and ready to go. Or grab Quick Trip's crispy chicken sandwich, perfect for a quick bite. Plus, they've got 8-piece fried chicken meals that feed the whole crew. But if you know that's not what you're looking for, there's always going to be a different deal going on, such as Quickery white bread for just 99 cents a loaf, Kitchen Cravings boneless pork loin chops for 99 cents, and of course the Quickery bratwurst 5 for $2.99. Fuel your day with quality taste. Quick Trip is your one stop for variety, quality, and fast service. Gas, free air for your tires, clean restrooms, and ATMs. Quick Trip has you covered to make your time on the road as easy as can be. So download the Quick Trip Rewards app and take advantage of all Quick Trip has to offer. Quick rewards on every visit, plus you can order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time. We'll see you in the 11 o'clock hour, which will start in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.